You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The latest list of Michigan's worst-performing schools will be released any day now. Under state law, the School Reform Office can close schools that have been mired in that lowest 5% for three straight years. But what of schools that say, wait, we're turning things around? Or schools in challenged neighborhoods where students started very far behind? And what happens to those students if the state shuts down their school? Erin Einhorn looked at one example of this dilemma in her report for Chalkbeat Detroit, and she's with us via Skype. This is a charter school in Detroit called the Michigan Technical Academy, MTA, and it's asking the state, please give us more time. Erin, tell us more about the MTA.
This is a school in Northwest Detroit that has been struggling for many years. They've had very low test scores. They've been on the priority list, the bottom 5% of schools, for 3 years already, and there's a fairly decent chance they'll be on the list, the 2016 list that's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And especially in Detroit, where the stakes are actually quite a bit higher than in the rest of the state because of the legislation, the DPS legislation that passed last spring, that puts the school in danger, really. There's an axe hanging over their head. They could very, very well close. But when I visited the school, I found that actually the test scores aren't telling the whole story.
What do they tell you is behind these poor scores?
Well, the scores were, the school was struggling. And so several of the years of the bad scores were, you know, legitimately a sign of a serious problem in that school. The scores were so low, in fact, that Central Michigan University, which authorizes the charter for that school, a couple of years ago looked into actually shutting the school down, thinking this is kind of a lost cause. These children deserve better opportunities than the school is able to give them. And they looked at possibly closing the school down. But when they looked at the surrounding schools in the neighborhood, they found that a lot of the other options weren't a lot better. So they decided to, instead of closing the school, they decided to change it. So they brought in a new school board. They brought in a new principal, a new management company that had a new, you know, a computer program, a computer system that enables teachers to tailor education to the specific needs of individual children. And folks in the school are saying that that things seem to be changing, that there's a positive culture that's making a big difference. And they're really starting to see some positive signs that the school's improving. Unfortunately, however, the test scores say what they say.
How long has the new approach with the new program for teachers and the new principal, how long has that been in effect and what are they seeing?
So it's really just been a year. The new principal took over in September of 2015, so they've had 1 year of track record with the new system. There was an MSTEP test given last spring, and you know, you might think, oh, it's a new school, they're doing better. The MSTEP scores from last spring should reflect that. But that's actually not how MSTEP scores work. They're not designed to show progress of individual students. So the MSTEP will test grade level proficiency. So it gives a fourth grader a fourth grade test, and the fourth grader either passes it or the fourth grader doesn't.
So it doesn't measure whether that child has been behind to begin with and is been doing a great job of catching up.
Exactly. So if a fourth grader starts the year doing first grade work and by springtime is doing third grade work, the teacher would say, wow, this student's doing really well. This student's really showing progress. But when the fourth grader who's doing third grade work now, it takes the fourth grade test, he or she is going to fail it. And it's going to look like that school isn't doing anything. So it's actually going to take a couple of years of a school that's doing the right things for the test scores in a school where students start out really far behind. It takes a few years for that to demonstrate itself in the MSTEP scores.
So that's what we're, as your story for Chalkbeat Detroit about the Michigan Technical Academy, they're trying to say, hey, give us some time under this whole new approach to really try to hit that. We're seeing progress. And we certainly know there's been a lot of dispute for the school district, the new one in Detroit, the Detroit Community Public Schools, whether they deserve a chance for that fresh start on the three-year countdown. Governor Snyder says they do. Attorney General Schuette says, nope, they do not. So where do we go from here? I mean, if you shut down these low 5%, you know, these 5% in the bottom for 3 years schools, then what? What happens to those students?
I don't think that's clear, and I don't really think that's been answered, certainly by the legislation that passed last spring, which says bad schools got to go. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Bad schools are bad. Let's get rid of them, and let's put kids into better schools where they can have a better shot at success in life. And I think in concept, that's a beautiful idea. The question is...
But in what about in practical reality?
Well, the question is, where is that better school? Right. So if you have two schools in a neighborhood and one of them is fantastic and one of them is horrible and the fantastic school has room for extra kids, let's move the kids from the bad school to the good school. And that's fantastic. That's great. Everybody wins. But in a lot of neighborhoods, including the neighborhood where the Michigan Technical Academy is located, most of the schools are low performing. So, you know, maybe there's a school that's in the bottom 5% and the one next to it's in, you know, in the 7th or 8th or 9th percent, you know, but you're going to move a bunch of kids who are way below grade level into that 7, 8, 9% school. And next year, by definition, if you get rid of the bottom 5%, the next, you know, the next chunk is also going to be the bottom 5%. The state is actually working on a letter grade system that I think a lot of people are hoping might have some more sophistication in it that might identify, you know, separate schools that are truly, you know, mired in failure, truly showing bad performance year after year with no sign of change from schools that are on the move. And I think a better system like that would benefit a lot of schools, but, you know, that's at least a year, probably 2 or 3 years out.
And here we have the list coming out very soon, this week, next week, sometime very soon. And so what options would a school like the MTA, the Michigan Technical Academy, have to stay open? If they're on that list again, what options do they have?
For schools, so the rules are a little bit different for schools in the city of Detroit and Michigan schools that are outside the city. So the school reform office has a little bit more discretion outside of the city. In the city of Detroit, the legislation that passed last spring that was designed to keep DPS out of bankruptcy included language that requires the state to shut down schools that have been on this bottom five list for 3 years in a row, you know, at least until there's a letter grade system that might be more sophisticated. But under this old system, with the bottom five list, 3 years on the bottom five list, they must close, with the only exception being schools that are where there's an unreasonable hardship for the students who attend. So if the state looks at that school and says taking students, you know, closing the school down would represent an unreasonable hardship to students, the school could stay open.
When we say unreasonable hardship, meaning they'd have to travel so far to get to any school? I mean, what do they mean by unreasonable hardship?
You know, the law doesn't clearly define it, so it seems like it's a little bit of discretion for the school reform office to come up with what that means. But I would imagine it's looking at whether there's a viable alternative in the neighborhood that students could reasonably get to. You know, are the other schools in the neighborhood in good condition? You know, are the classrooms in working order? Do they have space? So if a school is much better, but it's full, that doesn't do a lot of good. So I think they're going to be looking at that. And I know, you know, when I talked to the school reform office folks over the summer about this, they said they had already started the process of evaluating where the struggling schools are and whether or not there's viable alternatives for the students who attend them.
Erin, Chalkbeat Detroit is relatively new to the education reporting scene. Tell us about the work you're doing there and what you want to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Chalkbeat is a nonprofit education policy news site that's currently covering the schools in New York, Denver, Memphis, and Indianapolis. And last spring, we launched a pilot in Detroit to try to see whether there was a way we could bring this kind of in-depth, in-context reporting about schools to Detroit and to Michigan and cover the schools. And hopefully we still haven't launched formally, but we do hope to do so in the next few months.
Erin Einhorn, who is covering education for Chalkbeat Detroit. Thank you for talking with us, Erin.
Thanks so much for having me.